to Tallest of Titles Down Under Dynasty with your host at Life from the Ben, and with me as usual, my co-host at FF Store, Matt. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well. It's a sunny Sunday here in Sydney, just out on the outskirts of Sydney, doing really well. And this time next week, we'll have one game under our belts and be pretty happy or pretty sad, depending on how many shares of Cowboys or Tampa Bay Bucks we own. But yeah, pretty pumped, mate. How about you?
Yeah, it's looking nice today in Melbourne, but it is due to rain soon. So you know, after this is done, I'll get my dog out for the day, take it for a walk, and then there's a whole lot of nothing to do. But yeah, super pumped. NFL is on the way, only a few short days away. It's what we've been waiting for. It's going to be here for real. We're going to be setting lineups. It's going to matter. I'm going to be kicking your ass again in fantasy football.
Please. Lies.
Well, we've got a guest on the pod today, and he's going to be joining us quite often throughout the season, recurring, making regular appearances. You know him. Well, you know him if you've watched our show before, and hopefully you love him as much as we do. We're going to bring him in right now. At Mark Bull is here. Bully, how are you, sir?
How are we, guys?
I'm great, mate. I'm great because I get to be here with you.
I'm good now you're here, Bull.
You know?
Who else would you spend a Sunday morning?
You know, well, there's a short list. You know? But what's been happening? You looking forward to the start of the year?
Yeah. Pretty keen. I think there's a few solid games coming up this week. Like, I think that first matchup between the Bucks and Cowboys, I think that's shaping up to be an absolute track meet. I think any time you put, you know, players of that caliber, you know, in a game, there's going to be some points.
I think it's shaping up for the Cowboys to get blown out of the water by the reigning Super Bowl champions. That's what I think it's shaping up to be. All right.
I mean, the problem is, like, I think if it does turn into a track meet, there's probably only two or three teams that can keep up with the Bucs, and like the Cowboys are one of them. You know, if you're going to match a receiving core, like arguably these are the two best receiving cores in the league. So, you know, you've
Know, man, that Mike Evans guy looks pretty shot.
He's washed. He's washed. No, I think they've you know, Brady's obviously had his knee injury last year, right? So they're probably going to have to put a spine in him now just to keep him contained in the pocket so he doesn't break out for a couple of hundred yards in the
He's had surgery. He's probably got robot legs.
Mate, probably. You won't know any difference. I think it'll be a close game. I think Cowboys will play well. I don't think they'll win, but it'll be close, I think.
Yeah, I
think it'll be a track beat. I think it'll be a high-scoring game.
Who are you most looking forward to seeing in real NFL action in that game? For me, it's even though, you know, we're fantasy football here, for me, it's Micah Parsons, just in real-life action. I'm just watching him on Hard Knocks. I'm just super excited to see that guy in a real live NFL game.
I think he's gonna run into a real challenge week one. Like, you know, realistically, you're going to find out what he is week one, because it does not matter which receiver on that Bucs offense you put him up against. It's going to be interesting.
You know, he's a linebacker, right? He's not matching up with the wide receivers.
Yeah, I just think, but okay, so like, but realistically, that offensive, like the Bucs return, you know, all their offensive line. And
what,
I think
what's that
Ray,
got to do with Micah Parsons?
I just can't.
He's getting there.
I just don't. He's not going to be relevant from a sack point of view. I think the Bucs were bottom third in the top third in the league for, you know, like sacks.
He's not an edge rusher. He's playing coverage linebacker.
I think
I don't understand.
I just don't think this is the game that he's going to have an impact. You've got a quarterback like Brady who, unless he's going to put pressure on him, I just can't see where he will have an impact this week. Like, I just think it's going to be an
absolute. I'm very confused. He could, like coaches in the chat. He's like Parsons can do everything.
Okay, well, where do you see him having an impact this week one?
Anywhere the Bucks need him to be. That's the type of player that he is. He's a special linebacker who can cover tight ends. He can cover running backs.
He plays for Cowboys. Benny.
He can rush from anywhere on the field. All right.
Yeah, I just don't think this is the week where he will have an impact. Like I.
Okay. You don't have a good reason for it, but all right.
Well, I just can't see where he's going to have an impact. Like the Bucs do a really good job of protecting Brady. They return their complete offensive line. Like I think they're the first Super Bowl champion to return their entire offense. And down the stretch last year, they were pretty much untouchable. I think Brady's smart enough that he will pick apart what is arguably the Cowboys' weakest defense in a long time. And
I can't see the Cowboys' defense being worse than last year, mate. I think they're going to be a much improved defense over last year. But who are you looking forward to seeing?
That's for me, I'll jump in. I'm just looking forward to see Dak. I really am looking forward to see Dak. Tore his knee, lost his brother, so much tragedy. I just hope he overcomes it all. And you know, the Cowboys are a playoff team. That'll be great to see forever.
And, Billy, who is it you want to see?
I kind of just want to see which of those Cowboys receivers comes out. I think all three of them have the opportunity to be the one there. And I genuinely, the CD Lamb hype is huge. And he's probably shaping up as the most likely. But if Cooper and Lamb miss a couple of games, there's every chance that Gallup's proven that he can be the lead receiver there as well. Like, I don't think there's, from a fantasy football point of view, I don't think there's a single player there that is going to be a true test. I personally just want to see Evans lead the team again. Everyone wants to talk about that he's washed and he's old and, oh, but AB saw 11 targets in the final week. We all know that was Brady getting AB paid. For me, it's Evans, but that's just a homer pick.
Well, look, in regards to the Cowboys wide receivers, I think CD Lamb is going to separate himself from the other two to be the clear alpha wide receiver one, and the other two will be good, but they're not going to be CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is a special talent, man. Special talent. He's like a more athletic DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm super, super excited to see him. But I already know he's good. I already know he's a stud, which is why Micah Parsons was my choice there.
Given that this game probably pits the two, receiving corps that offers genuine three solid wide receivers. Do we think we see two teams this year put up three 1,000-yard receivers with both these offenses?
Look, with 17 games, I think it's possible. But, injuries and stuff like that, I don't think it's likely, but it's possible. But
Gallup's probably the weak link of the six, and he had 878 yards or something last year.
If I was to pick one,
Andy Dalton throwing the ball.
Yeah, look, if I was, yeah, but Lamb got hurt, Cooper was necked up. If I had to pick one offense to do it, I'd probably pick the Bucs, because I think Mike Evans can get his 1,000 yards off like 70 catches, right? And I don't know if anyone on the Cowboys can really do that.
We're talking about the Steelers doing that for the past couple of years, right? Having these three top wide receivers with a washed-up.
Yeah, but not three 1,000-yard receivers.
Still three top wide receivers that we're drafting pretty high, right? So why wouldn't you say something similar for Cowboys and the Bucs? I think it's possible for both.
Yeah, especially if Dak is anywhere near what he was last year. Like, he was on track for 6,000 yards in a 16-game season. Like, at an extra game, like, even if he drops 20% efficiency, that's still 4,800 yards. Like,
oh, I like it. It should be a bathroom bet somewhere. All Cowboys receivers to go over 1,000 yards. What do you say, Benny?
You think all three will go over 1,000 yards?
Bathroom bet.
Bathroom bet? Okay, I'll put up bathroom bet. I don't think three will go.
Me and Bull versus Ben. I'll add it to the board.
All right. So, look, let's get on to the topic of hand, the topic of the day, which is players that we want to buy and trade away before the season starts, or as close to the season having started as possible. All right, so these are guys that we believe in who are either going to explode right away or fall off a cliff, and that's why we want to buy them or sell them as soon as possible. Coach is on the line. He's saying he's excited to see the season with a healthy Jarwin, healthy Blake Jarwin. So I like that, because if Blake Jarwin's good, that probably means I win the bet we just had. So I'm on that, Coach. I love it.
It's always about you as the bet. It's always about Ben. He doesn't care about your coach. I care for the Cowboys, Coach.
I care. I want Blake Jarwin to have a good season, so then three wide receivers on the Cowboys don't get to 1,000 yards.
If I was here for your hot takes episode, I personally would have thrown it out there that the Cowboys have the potential to put up four 1,000-yard receivers. I think Schultz last year had 700 yards.
That is a hot take. I picked Jarwin up in Aussie guys four. I picked him off the waivers. Was pretty happy to get him there. I think he's a sneaky. Yeah.
I think Jarwin's.
I reckon Dalton Schultz is better than Jarwin.
Oh, lies. Another bathroom bet. Let's do it. Schultz versus bathroom.
I'm not feeling that convicted. But look, let, back to the topic at hand. Sorry, we got off track, guys. The buys and sells prior to the season, the guys we want to buy and sell because we really, really believe in them or don't believe them. So we want to get them on or off our rosters as soon as possible. And we're going to start with my buddy at FF Doormat. Matt, who is your first buy? The guy that you want to get on your roster, ASAP.
I think it's Jamar Chase. I just think the slander is just too high for someone who he has genuine chance at finishing as a wide receiver one as a rookie. He's had a year out of football, had a couple of dodgy preseason games where people are sort of fading him already. So if you are in a league where a contender has somehow jagged him with a late pick and they want to contend, I'd be all in on making a move for Jamar Chase. I just think he's got a lot of opportunities there in a high-scoring offense. Might take him a few games, so maybe you can buy him after a few quiet games. But I think, come 2022, he's going to be one of the first wide receivers off the board.
So you're buying the dip on the Jamar Chase, the panic.
I can't believe there's a dip, but you're right, there is a dip there. I think it's just everyone's just in a bit of a panic that they bought him, expecting him to, dominate already. But he has had a year out. He's playing in a pretty poor team, but they'll be throwing the ball all over the park. So I think, there's an advantage there to be had. And I think if you can get him for, market price now, it's the cheapest he's going to be for a long time.
I was on mute. Sorry. That's good. I like that take. That's a good one. Solid.
Yeah, I think you're still going to have to pay up for him. I can't see anyone letting him go for, a 22 first or anything like that. I think you're probably still looking at a 22 first and a 22 second.
But from where he was in the startups that I did, this guy was going in the second round. In the second, third round. He was going, I've seen him go before DK Metcalf, before CeeDee Lamb. I don't think he'd be going that high right now if he did a startup. I definitely think he's dropped below those guys. Is that fair?
I think smart owners are never going to sell him cheaply, right? But definitely has dropped for some of the in some leagues. What were you saying, Billy? You don't think he ever should have been that high? Or?
I mean, my approach to receivers is, other than the rare occasions like Bryan Edwards where I'm willing to push the chips all in, and I've been burnt by that. I think I've got 90% exposure to him, and it's burnt me so far, but we'll see. I'd rather be a game or two late on a receiver than risking taking a guy like Jamar Chase over guys like DK and that. I'd rather pay the extra second or, throw the extra player in a week or two later, just because we've seen how volatile those receivers are. Like the last few years, we've seen those number one receivers like N'Keal Harry and the likes of that not pan out and it be the guys that are taken later, DK going early in the second of rookie drafts. That's been where the money is. Justin Jefferson was an early second round pick last year. I think with that, with running backs and quarterbacks, you know what you're getting early. Whereas the receivers, I'd rather be a game or two late. But, you know, if Chase is going to have that season where he is in that wide receiver one talk for next year, I think it's going to be a few slow games to start, sitting behind T. Higgins, and then he'll emerge as the season went on.
It's going to take him a minute. It's going to take him a minute. So maybe you can even buy a little bit lower there.
Okay. Bully, who are you buying?
For me, it's Mike Gesicki. I think we've seen that Tua really appreciates having that safety blanket. And, you know, let's face it, he's not used as a traditional tight end. He's basically an extra receiver. He was the tight end 4 down the stretch once Tua got that starting job last year. I think he had, of the 5 games that he started with Tua, I think there were 4 of them where he had over 8 targets, which is starting to put him into that Darren Waller, Travis Kelce territory as far as target share. And I think realistically, he's the cheapest of that second tier of tight end once you start talking about Mark Andrews and Hockenson and Fant, Pitts, you know, whether or not Pitts is in that first tier already or whether he's still in that second tier.
I don't know if you're tiering them up right now, I don't know if I'd have Gesicki in the same tier as Andrews and Hockenson.
I think he's followed that traditional tight end trajectory. I think we've been spoiled.
Yeah, where... but do you think he's actually like in that tier right now as far as as the community, the fantasy community? I would say that Andrews and Hockenson are in their own tier.
He was tight end 5 or something last season. He was tight end 18 year 1, tight end 12 year 2, tight end 5 year 3. And I think that's what you want to see from a tight end building through an offense, especially with a young QB.
And you're not worried about the additions of Fuller and Waddle? It's a lot of...
No, I think realistically, you know, you've got Waddle who will move in and, you know, replace some of, I think, like, you've got receivers there that are expendable. Like, Devontae Parker isn't going to be in Miami long term. Preston Williams, you know, I think
we're not talking about the long term, right? We're talking about the, you got to get this roster guy on your roster now because you think he's going to explode.
I think if you look at what he did down the last 5 or 6 games last year with Tua, if he starts the season off like that right now, he will be in that Darren Waller territory because he is 3 or 4 years younger by week 5, where you're having to pay multiple firsts for him.
Darren Waller got 145 targets last year, so you're calling it that Gesicki's going to get that kind of target share?
I don't know. I think that Miami offense will throw the ball more.
So what's the over under on his targets?
I think he's in the 100 to 120 target range.
100 to 120 is a big difference. Pick a number. Over under. What's the over under?
I'd say the over 110.
So we'll say 110.5. Taking the over on 110.5. All right. Yeah. Bathroom board bet. I say Mike Gesicki is under 110.5 targets. Mark Vool says Mike Gesicki is over 110.5 targets. Put it on the board. It's going on the board?
I'll put it on there.
All right. Boom. Boom. Well, Mike Gesicki is a great, segue into my dynasty. Get him on your roster before the season starts or really early in the season because he's going to rocket up. And that is my guy. I've stand for this guy all off season. Tua Tagovailoa. I can't say it. Do you guys know how to say it? Tua Tagovailoa. All right. Get him on your roster now. I don't understand the hate that this guy went through. Right? I mean, you had Joe Burrows who threw for almost 2,700 yards and 13 touchdowns in his 10 starts, right? But Tua, he threw, what did Tua throw for? just bringing it up now. He threw for 1,800 yards and 11 touchdowns with 5 interceptions, but he threw 114 less passes. So the YPI, the yards per attempt was 6.3 for Tua as opposed to 6.7 for Burrow. But obviously the Bengals were out of the hunt all year and Burrow was just slinging it, whereas Tua wasn't doing that. And I never understood the difference in their ADP with Burrow going in like, you know, late first, early second round of dynasty startups and Tua going, round three, or sometimes as late as round four or five. So I'm bumping, what's it called? Hitting the table for my guy, Tua. I think that you're going to see a completely different player this year than the one that you saw last year. Without the hip injury, proper preseason, you're going to see that his arm strength is going to be at a level that we haven't seen before. He's got the mind for the game. He goes through all his progressions. He's got a quick release. And they have weapons now. They've got players who can separate. Last season, Gesicki was the only player on the Dolphins who could really get any separation. Devonta Parker, the other receivers there, jump ball receivers. But Waddle, Fuller, those guys, they catch the ball, they get in space, they go. And that's going to be a total game changer for Tua's production. So he's someone I'm pounding the table for. Get Tua on your roster. What do you guys think?
I like it. I think he was on the short list last year, so I like it.
I think he's great value. I don't know where I'd put him in this year's QB class. Like if I was trading for him with a pick this year, like I think other than Mac, they all offer a lot more upside. But I think Tua is a safe QB that will offer, you know, a long-term starter for you. I think Burrow is going ahead of Tua because Burrow does offer that little bit more rushing upside. I think Miami will try and keep Tua safe given the extensive nature of that hip injury. But he's certainly one that I'd be looking to buy as my QB2, QB3 on a Superflex roster.
Well, we know the Bengals aren't worried about keeping Burrow safe based off the decisions they've been making. So, yeah, poor Burrow. I hope he gets through the season alive. And, Matt, do you know who's bringing us today's episode?
Tell me, Ben.
It's Primetime Sports Talk. So today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com, check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. So now you know it's brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk.
Yeah, I want to know. I should know that by now, shouldn't I?
You should. All right, you should be on the ball, mate.
Should be.
I'll throw you another one. I'll make this one easy. How do you listen to us?
How do you listen to us, Ben? I don't know.
No, I'm asking you, mate. How do you listen?
Mate, your reads are so good, mate. So I just, you know, Spotify, podcast, YouTube, wherever you want, we're everywhere, mate.
It's Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, the Facebook page, Toilets and Titles, and When a Family Breaks, and of course Spotify. Okay. And please hit the like, subscribe button and leave us an Apple iTunes review. Those iTunes reviews are super important, guys. They play into the algorithms. They make us pop up for people. So if you could take the time, leave us an Apple iTunes review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Now we're going to go to the next buy for Matt. Matt, who's your next buy?
It's Michael Carter. I think he's probably going to be the cheapest he's going to be again for a while. I think there's been a lot of talk about Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson. You got P. Ryan there. It's a crowded backfield. So I think his price is still pretty low. I think, he's a pretty good route runner. He's a decent enough blocker. He's okay at blocking. I think he's pretty skilled. He's pretty quick. And I think, you know, similar to Chase, I think he's going to take a couple of games to get a bit of a share. But I think once he has a couple of good breakout games, his price is not going to be low. I think the Jets were pretty happy to get him where they did. And there was talk that if they had had a third-round pick, they would have taken him in the third round. And he kept falling to them in the fourth round. So I think if you can wait a couple of games, if he has a couple of quiet games, it might be even cheaper, but I'll be trying to make a move to get him now if I could.
Anywhere you can get the third running back behind Tevin Coleman and LaMichael Perine, you got to do it.
And Ty Johnson.
No, look, I think that's really, really fair. I think the fact that he kind of didn't play that much in the preseason probably makes him a value. People might be panicking, and you might be able to buy him at a really good price. I like that one. Well, the end of the Jets. Any opinions on Michael Carter?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people prior to the draft that were taking Carter in the same breath as, like, you know, the Javonte Williams, given that they did such a job of pretty evenly splitting the backfield last year. So if he can work his way to the top of that depth chart, I think there's huge upside there. My only concern there is I don't think their running back of the future is on the roster right now. I think they'll look at adding someone next year, given that they've got receivers there now with Zach Wilson. So I think next year they're in the position to take one of those luxury second-round running backs, which would be where I'd get scared off.
I just want to know who are these people who had Michael Carter in the same tier as Javonte Williams, because I'd like to play fantasy football with those people. That'd be nice.
I think if you watch
the numbers are pretty sane. The numbers are pretty sane. Apart from touchdowns, right?
Yeah, like touchdowns were really the only separator. They averaged similar yards per attempt, similar catch rates. They were much for muchness. It's just Javonte was that little bit.
Javonte's bigger, just as fast, much better in pass protection, which is really, really vital in the NFL. But yeah, we'll see. Oh, look, I think even if you're of the opinion that the Jets will draft a running back, I think if you buy Carter now, you'll have an opportunity to flip him for a profit based on what he does in season. So good call, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. I think Matt Wallman had him the same grade, pass blocking grade as Javonte Williams too, Benny. So just a little tick for me there, you know.
I like Wallman. A lot of respect for the man. The stuff, content he puts out is great, but, you know, we've all had our misses. Yeah, we've had our misses too. He sucked me in with Akeem Butler, man. Generational wide receiver one prospect. That hurts to think about. I'm not taking a shot at Matt, though.
He got me too.
King amongst men. King amongst men in the industry. But, you know, film is in the eye of the beholder. All right, Bully, what is your second buy?
Yeah, for me, it's Sony Michel. I think, you know, you can avoid reading into coach speak, but I think when organizations make decisions to trade for players, I think you've certainly got to look at that. The Rams aren't an organization that have a lot of draft capital at the moment. I think they now only have two picks next year in the draft in total, maybe three. Depending on how this trade works out. But I think when you look at realistically, Sony has huge upside there. They've bought him in, and I'm pretty sure McVay went on record that he's even said that due to injury concerns with Henderson is why they've made the trade. You know, last year was his best year as far as an efficiency standpoint goes. I think he averaged 5.9 yards per carry. And I think we see week one and two, it's a bit of a timeshare, but I think as the season goes on, we start to see that upside from Sony. Like, he was coming out of Georgia, he was that pass catching running back.
That's a sneaky one. I like Sony if the price is right. If he's someone you can get on your roster for a third or even a second, you're confident it'll be late. I think that's somebody you should be buying. I really like that call.
Oh, I like it. He had so much promise coming out, right? Everyone was pretty high on him. I think Patriots fans particularly were sort of hope for a lot more, so it'll be good to see him get back to that Georgia sort of form.
We've seen him at stretches when Bill has trusted him be a genuine lead back, like down that Super Bowl stretch when there were a couple of injuries and I think James White was banged up. He had a stretch there where he was on a tear.
He did.
But we all know Bill does not like using a running back, a lead back. He carries a number of them and uses them as specialists. And unfortunately, when you've got an offense with James White, as good at pass catching as he is, he's not going to get that job. He's not big enough to be that LeGarrette Blount, you know, touchdown back. I think on the Rams, we could see the best of Sony. Even preseason, he's looked better than he has for a while. You know, there's not the talk of having to get his knee drained and everything else we dealt with the last couple of years.
He definitely looked better last year, and he's definitely looked good in the preseason. So we'll see how it plays out. Just sneaky one there with Sonny gone. I'm super excited for Damian Harris, but let's not get too much into that. All right, now my final buy is Darnell Mooney. I love Darnell Mooney in that offense. So from week six, he saw a 60% snap share on offense. From week seven onwards, his snap share was 83.4%. So I don't see any reason that he's not going to see that kind of snap share over the course of the whole season. I think he had around 98 targets last year. So with a 83% snap share over the whole course of the whole season, I could easily see him getting 120 targets. And with the natural improvement from year one to year two, and being the clear wide receiver two in that offense, in an offense that really just has Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and Montgomery, I think the world is his oyster. I can see a big, big jump in production. Tariq Cohen still on the pup, I think. No idea what kind of role he's going to play this year. And Mooney, he can be used all over the field. Matt Harmon's reception perception showed him to be a really, really talented player on all sorts of different routes. And I'm really excited to see how he evolves. And if Matt Nagy gets fired, I'll just be even more excited because Matt Nagy sucks.
There's no argument for anyone here, I think, on that. Cohen's out for at least six games. He's on the pup, so he can't come back. So I think that just is another little sneaky value, like you said, for Mooney.
Yeah, I mean, people will point to the draft capital, but last year's draft was a weird year, the 2020 draft, in regards to pro days and stuff. I think he's somebody who, if you had a proper process, moves up the board and ends up getting that day two draft capital instead of the day three draft capital that he got. And yeah, I'm just think yeah, that I mean, all he needs is more opportunity. Sorry, Mark, you go, mate.
He's a player that I don't own any of, and I'm probably happy to not own any of.
Shots fired. Ouch.
No, it's not that I don't think he's a buy. I maybe missed the window last year, and I think he falls into that Gabe Davis territory for me, where the price is now too high for the risk associated. So for me, you know, if he breaks out this year, then he will be one of those players that I'll be happy to pay more for later if I'm wrong. But at the moment, where you're starting to see him go for the price he's going for, I just think there's other players I'd rather buy in that territory.
Well, I'm stamping the table again, and I'm saying pay the price now because the price at the end of the year is going to be a lot higher. I have to say, don't get the Gabe Davis love, though. That wide receiver room is absolutely chockers full. I think the Gabe Davis love has to do with the what's his name?
Cole Beasley insanity.
The Cole Beasley hate, yes. I think the Cole Beasley hate is part of what's driving the Gabe Davis love. I mean, Beasley was a top, like, I think he was wide receiver 15 or 16 in PPR formats, and see any reason for that to change.
I think we'll see Cole Beasley rein it in once it's regular season and there's real games on the line. I think we'll see him start to rein in the antics of not wearing masks and stuff like that. And I mean, even if the Bills decide to move on from him, he's one of the best slot receivers in the game. Someone will pick him up.
I mean, I like Gabe Davis, but I'm just getting Robert Foster vibes.
Yeah, I think we've been burnt by too many Bills receivers.
Yeah, definitely.
Zay Jones. I think a while back I traded your first for Zay Jones at one point, didn't I?
I can't remember. But I took it. If you did, I would have taken it quick smart. Wouldn't have been thinking very much about it. Anyway, with that, let's go on to ourselves, the guys we think we need to get off the roster before the season. Now, we're not saying get them off the roster for pennies on the dollar, all right? Just want to be clear. We're saying get them off your roster in a fair trade that brings you back equity, not just sell them for peanuts. And Matt, who is your first sell?
My first sell was also going to be a buy, but Benny's a bit of a tyrant and said I couldn't do that. So my first sell is DeAndre Hopkins. I think especially if you're not a strong chance to compete, I'd be moving him now. He's 30 next year. By the time the season comes around, he'll be 30. That's a death knell for wide receivers. So if you keep him past this season, he's probably going to die on your roster, and he's probably going to return great value on your roster as well. But I just think, if you're not competing, then you should be about value, right? What else do you want? If you're not going to win, you've got to get that value, and he's only going to decrease in value from here, I think.
You hear that, Bully? Get the DeAndre Hopkins off your roster.
For good value. I feel targeted, given both you guys have tried to buy him off me this week.
I tried to sell him in Console Wars, and I couldn't even get a decent offer for him. That was pre-draft, So now nothing's changed for me. I think if you're a strong contender, obviously no.
Well, you didn't shop him to me.
I mean, look.
Shop him everywhere.
DeAndre Hopkins this year, I think he's got those numbers next to his name, 2-9. He turned 29 years old in June. And once that goes to 3-0 next year, regardless of how productive he is this year, once you see those 3-0 next to his name, the value is just going to drop even further, right? I mean, that's how this game works, Dynasty Fantasy Football.
It's even probably too late, really. We're hating on that age already, right? It's now's your last little chance to get him off. Maybe if he has a big start to the season, a massive game, the talent, we all love his talent, right? He's an absolute superstar, but it's just about value.
I think if you're moving him now, you need to move him probably in season when players are injured. I think what you need to wait for is one of those teams that's a contender to lose a DK Metcalf or something like that. And you need to try and do a one-for-one trade there where a team that's a contender gets better and you pick up a receiver that isn't going to score points this year but, will be good long-term.
I mean, you can make those trades in the off-season. I made one yesterday, Bully. You might have seen it.
Yeah, but I think you need to wait for one of those teams that's a fringe playoff team to get desperate. I think you were right and you said, you've probably already seen that dip really hit. I think he's one of those receivers that, what's Larry Fitzgerald, 37, and it's only been the last two or three years that he hasn't been a wide receiver too. I think if you're a team that's rebuilding for 1 year, you probably hold him because he probably has wide receiver one, wide receiver two value for the next couple of years. He's one that if a guy like Darnell Mooney starts to break out, you make a deal where you go, all right, I'll send you Hopkins for Mooney in a first or something like that. But I don't think the deal you're getting at the moment makes a lot of sense to move Mooney for another receiver. I think realistically the only way you'd be able to get younger is if you potentially moved him for a Golladay in a first right now.
You mean Hopkins for another receiver. And Golladay's not that much younger, not that much older than Hopkins, right?
But you'd have to do it incrementally. I don't think with the hate how it is at the moment, you'd get a fair value for him.
You've got to remember as well, for all the talk around wide receivers, build your team because they last longer. Right, maybe they last longer, but their value doesn't last longer. Not really. Their peak value doesn't last longer. And sometimes the receivers fall off a cliff. Michael Thomas, his value has plummeted in the course of 12 months. He was the wide receiver one. Odell Beckham, value plummeted, right? Plummeted. There's somebody else that I'm missing as well, who I can't think of.
AJ Green.
No, I don't know. His value didn't. Who was the wide receiver one before Michael Thomas last year? I can't remember. Anyway, it's a tale for another day.
Might have been Tyreek Hill, was it?
It's eluded me. It was another player whose value dropped precipitously. So, Bully, who's your first sell?
For me, it's James Robinson. Like, you've been gifted an opportunity to, you've been gifted another sell opportunity. And I think you need, this is probably one of your last chances to move him over the next week and a half. I think there's plenty of contending teams that are going to expect James Robinson from last year. But what we need to know is that that's a different offense with a different coaching staff. He's probably not going to see the same usage. They've brought in, you know, they brought in other running backs like Carlos Hyde and stuff like that will see work. You know, I think this is your sell window. I think if you don't get rid of him now, you need to accept that you're not getting the production that you got last year. And, you know, if you're happy to ride late background RB2 production this year to help you to win a championship, then go for it. But I think seeing him as a, you know, back-end RB1 last year, you know, I think you'll see less usage this year under a different, you know, in a different offense with a different quarterback, different receiving call, more running back help in the, you know, that room.
It's fair. It's not an unfair take, but that's what I disagree with. I think it's now that ATN's gone for the year, I think it's wheels up for J-Rob in pretty much every format. But we'll see.
I just think what you can sell him for at the moment, you know, he's one that I'd be trying to sell. Like, definitely. If you can get out, you know, I've seen him go for ETN. I've seen J-Rob in a second for ETN and a first. And for me, like, if you're not contending this year, deals like that involving Dobbins and Akers and stuff like that make a lot of sense.
That's against the rules. Okay.
He runs a tight ship here, mate.
All right. Get
He's a tyrant.
All right.
Look, if you own James Robinson, you won the lotto, right? Like, if you held him or you bought him cheaply, you won the lotto. So, cash in. He's also my sell as well. So, you know, you stole my thunder there, Bully. But I think everything you say is correct. I think he's still going to have a decent year, but we hit the jackpot. ATN got injured. His value skyrocketed. If you can cash in now and take advantage of that, do it.
Definitely something to do. But, you know, if you're not contending, which is against the rules of this buys and sells, but I'll allow it this one time because you knew it's fine. My first sell is Jalen Hurts because I don't think Jalen Hurts is good at football. I don't think Jalen Hurts is good at playing quarterback. So that's why he's my sell. People will point to, but Lamar Jackson didn't play good as a rookie. And Jalen Hurts is just like Lamar Jackson. But Jalen Hurts is not like Lamar Jackson. Jackson's completion percentage in those few games he played as a rookie was 58%, which is a full 6% better than Hurts's. And then as an athlete, Lamar Jackson is just on a completely different level when it comes to speed and agility compared to somebody like Jalen Hurts, who's really more like a lesser Cam Newton in his prime, right? As far as being an athlete, smaller, not as fast, you know, going to kind of, you know, just smash into you. He's not like Lamar. I don't like the Lamar comparison. I don't think the Eagles are fully invested. I think the Minshew trade shows that. And they've got the draft capital to go and get a new starter if he doesn't produce. He's really only got a one-year shot, right, to earn and keep that job. I think they'll give him – I think they'd be silly to not give him the full year. Right, so I do think that he'll start the full year. Unless he's atrocious, so atrocious that you can't evaluate the rest of the roster. And it's obvious that he's not the answer. That's the only way that I think he hits the bench. But I'm out on him because I just don't feel like the Eagles are in on him. And
yeah, I mean, I think that's reading the tea leaves that I think the Eagles aren't fully invested in him. I think people looking at his completion percentage is a little bit only telling half the story, because even last year there was a lot of Jalen Hurts being put in and used as that Taysom Hill type player before he actually got the job. And I think he was treated pretty poorly last year where he was benched. You know, you want to talk about things that are against, you know, frowned upon and against the rules. Like benching a QB when he's actually doing well and he's going to win you a game and just being outrightly so obvious in tanking, like that wasn't great for a young QB. I think to say he's not good at football is probably a reach.
He's not good playing quarterback. I don't think he's good at playing quarterback.
It's not a reach. It's vicious lies and slander.
Like you and I have, you and I argued about this a few years back when they benched him for Tua. And I said they did him dirty then. You know, he was, you know, what, two quarters away from winning a national championship.
But it just doesn't seem like he gets a long leash. It doesn't seem like he's got a long leash. And based on his ADP, right, based on his ADP, what you could get for him, unless I really, really needed a quarterback, I want to trade him and get an asset that I feel is more secure long term.
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends where he fits into your roster. Like, if you're relying on him as your QB1, then maybe it's not the greatest.
Even if he's your QB2 or QB3, if you don't believe in him, right? If you believe in him, you keep him. If you don't believe him, you get him off your roster.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether he's your third quarterback or your sixth quarterback, right? You make the decisions based on what you think of the player.
Yeah. I think for what you invested in him, he's almost falling into that James Robinson lottery ticket. Like, he was an early third round pick in most rookie drafts with where he went. So I think what you've got out of him, there's two ways to do it. You can sell him and get, you know, another QB and move on, or you can ride out in the hope that you do get lucky. It's always a gamble doing that. I think Hurts has genuine 3,500, 4,000-yard passing upside. And I think he's got 1,000-yard rushing upside. I think for me, the big difference is when you're watching Hurts and Lamar, Hurts's eyes are downfield. Hurts is willing to air the ball out, whereas Lamar isn't willing to give those outside receivers.
There's no Lamar slander on this podcast, Billy. Come on. What are you doing? No, stop it.
I think Hurts has the, you know, has the ability to be the long-term starter in Philadelphia. I think his biggest issue there is Philadelphia's inability to draft wide receivers and actually give him some help to be. I think Boston Scott, Goedert, Ertz, I think they're going to be the big winners of Jalen Hurts just because, you know, I bought a lot of Rager and I probably got burnt on it. And Devontae Smith's already been banged up this preseason. You know, I don't know if he's got the supporting cast there to help him, but
I think it's not fair to compare.
Yeah, I think if Rager and Smith can stay healthy, I think, you know, you're going to see a much improved Philadelphia and he'll have the job next year. But I think he's going to need a little bit of help from that receiving core.
I think it's not fair to compare Lamar and Hurts if you're not going to compare the organizations. What they did for Lamar was they built around him a much smarter organization and a lot healthier.
Yeah.
You know, Philly, they threw him to the wolves, really. I think, you know, they're pretty questionable decisions that you already mentioned. And also, they just weren't healthy last year. Everyone was injured. So
I agree with you there, Matt. But the comparison people are making, though, is that the reason Hurts can make this jump and be this Konami K quarterback is because of the jump Lamar made. Right. So if anything, what you've just said there, and you're a Hurts believer, what you just said there is a plus for my argument that he's somebody to sell.
No, I just said don't compare him to Lamar because there's different organizations.
Yeah, because exactly. There are different organizations and they put the whole offense around Lamar, catered to Lamar. I don't think the Eagles are going to do that. So yeah. We'll see. All right. But I think based if you know, if you drafted him last year, based on what you should get can get for him right now, you'd be very, very happy with the return. So we'll see how we go. Anyway, Mr. Doormat, what's your second sell before the season?
Mate, mine was James Robert. Great minds think alike. Mark Bull.
You had another one though, didn't you?
No, that was it. I had Hopkins and James Robinson.
So you're not selling any other player in the whole of fantasy football? There's not one other player that you look at and you think, I have to get him off my roster. Not one.
Look, I was going to say Derrick Henry, but that's low-hanging fruit, so I won't say him. Oh. Leave that for someone else to take that. But, yeah, my two, I think we've spoken about. So,
well, because you've only come on with one and you're coming off the back of Bully's one, can you please tell us about our Patreon?
I haven't got the show notes up, mate. That's the host.
You don't know.
I'm the co-host.
You don't know about the Patreon?
Tell me about it.
I'll tell you about the Patreon, sir. Tier one is $3 per month, and that gets you into the Toys for Titles group chat with all the crew and people from around the world. Then you got tier two, $5 per month. That gets you same things as tier one, as well as the early access to our waiver wire episodes and guaranteed entry into next year's Frankenstank League. This year's Frankenstank is going off. The group chat is popping, and you want to be in there. I'm in there. Bully's in there. Hatton's in there. And I'm going to be smashing all of them. And then we've got tier three. That's $10 per month. That gets you one-on-one roster analysis with anyone in the Toilets to Titles team that you'd like, free entry into our Frankenstein list in the league, and, of course, all the other things that we've already mentioned in the previous tiers. So you could get Matt Hatton at FF Doormat to help you with your fantasy football roster. And if you want to lock up the 101, that's a great thing for you.
This guy, hey. Give me a fair warning, mate. My blood pressure is sky high. Nearly got carted off in the ambulance on Thursday. You're trying to put me back there, aren't you? My blood pressure, mate, sky high. Just throw me these reads without any notice. Give me a heads up next time.
If anything ever happens to you, it's only because heaven wanted another angel.
Can't argue there, mate.
All right. Mark, who is your second? Oh, wait, I gave you... You've given him both yourselves, haven't you?
No. Oh, no? I've only got one. No, I had James Robinson, and my second is Gus Edwards.
Gus the bust. Yeah, I agree with this one.
I think there's an element of people are going, oh, well, Dobbins was expected to get this many yards. So Gus is going to get them as well. Like, I think we've seen what Gus was the last couple of years. Like, he's a solid back end RB2. Solid back end RB2, top end RB3. Like, I think, you know, with the extra volume, he could move into a high end RB2. But I think what we're going to see in that offense is Lamar's going to have the extra carries. Like, they're going to put the ball back in their best player's hand. Bateman's out injured now for the first, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, I think it is. We all know Hollywood will be banged up for most of that stretch as well, because that's what he does. Mark Andrews is there. And so realistically now we're going to see what we saw a couple of years ago where Lamar is having 15 carries a game. I think with what you can sell Gus for at the moment, He's an instant sell. That doesn't matter whether you're a contender, tanking, doesn't matter.
I agree with everything. Option him off before week one. I agree with everything you're saying there. Everything you're saying.
Yeah.
My thoughts are that the Ravens are still going to find other bodies at running back to give the carries to, and he's not going to have a season much dissimilar to what he had last year or the year before. No. He's going to get his 125 to 140 carries for, you know, 650 to 700 yards, and he's going to be what he is.
And I think there's too many veteran running backs floating around in free agency for them not to bring someone in. But you've got Gurley out there, you've got Lev Bell, you've got Adrian Peterson. Like, you've got players there that, you know, if they need to bring someone in, they've got veterans there that will be able to come in, fill the job, be reliable. They can pay them vet minimum. I just don't think Gus is going to fill the role of a lead back, but people are valuing him as that at the moment.
It's a bit hot. The people are saying him, you know, Gus Edwards in front of Josh Jacobs.
Man, I don't get the Josh Jacobs hate. I mean, that Raiders team has no weapons. I reckon Jacobs is going to have exactly the same kind of touches as he had last year. I could talk for an hour on that. So let's move off the Josh Jacobs topic. I don't want to think about it. But I like that one for you, Bully. Well, my final sell, I know people will say, well, if you keep him as a contender. I'm saying sell him anyway, even if you're a contender. And that's Derrick Henry. Because Derrick Henry had to rush for 2,000 yards and score 17 touchdowns just to finish as the RB3 overall in PPR. So if you play in PPR leagues, that is Derrick Henry's absolute ceiling. And my thoughts, I think that Derrick Henry can still string together three or four more really good years because he's just a freak. I don't think he's going to run into some kind of wall and, you know, that's it for him. But the numbers he's going to be putting up are more like 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards, you know, maybe 1,700 yards with, you know, 10 to 12 touchdowns. You're not getting 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns. And if he goes there, if he dips to that kind of production, that 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns, in that tier, then you're looking at a back-end RB1, high-end RB2. So if you can move Derrick Henry and add a little something and get a player who is more likely to finish in that top six at running back in PPR leagues, or, you know, a wide receiver that can finish top six in PPR leagues. And that might be the move to make, because the wide receiver is just so deep that people, and running back is not deep. We've already lost a few running backs to start the year. Akers, Dobbins, ATN, three guys we all thought would be contributors at the running back position. So running back's getting thinner by the day. If you could take Derrick Henry and turn that into a wide receiver that you really believe will be one of the next great elite wide receivers, like a Jamar Chase, like a CeeDee Lamb, that's definitely something I would be looking to do. And I know that he'll still offer value to a contender, but even if I was a contender, I'd be looking to move him and then buy him back at the price of the late RB1, back-end RB1, high-end RB2. So when I say sell, sell, but I'm trying to sell on top six running back value. And then, you know, if the opportunity presents later on, buy back at that later value. If I have to add an asset to do that, I'll do that as well. So that is my sell, my second sell. What do you guys think of that, Derrick Henry? This isn't none of you contending, not contending.
I think it's a smart move to make, but I think you're not going to get that price for him. I think now you're lucky to get a single first for him, really, I think.
What?
I think most owners are not going to be interested.
I think the problem you've got is if you break down a standard 12-team league, like you've got two or three teams that are trying to get the number one pick next year. You've got two or three teams that are borderline. And then of the top six teams, you've probably got two or three teams that at least one of those teams were probably the one that drafted him out of college where he did nothing for 3 years. So they're probably burnt. I think realistically, you've got such a small window in your league to sell. I don't think you're getting top six value.
I'm saying even if I have to add, right, even if I have to add a decent piece on to get that, I'm selling Derrick Henry.
Yeah, see, I
saw a trade on Lewis's at FF Down Under, his football page. It was Derrick Henry got traded straight up for JT and another really good running back.
Yeah, but when was that trade made?
It was just the other week. It just popped up on the page the other day.
That was also probably during the hype when Wentz was out for the season and they lost their starting at left tackle and JT was going to struggle. If you get lucky and get one of those windows, maybe you can get a deal like that. But realistically, I think Henry's one of those players you're going to have to wait. You're going to either need to find the contending team that's lost Akers and Dobbins, or Akers and Etienne, or one of those teams
Again, I don't want to do the not contending thing, but that's definitely something to look at. But what we forget is that not everyone playing fantasy football is in the Twitter echo chamber that we can sometimes be in.
Yeah.
All right. Not everybody's on Twitter trying to be a fantasy football analyst. Some people are just looking at Derrick Henry and saying, oh, he had 2,000 yards and 70 touchdowns. Derrick Henry's a monster. I want Derrick Henry on my team. That's a mistake that we in our little community, I think we make too much. We got to remember that not everyone's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Not everyone's in that echo chamber. It's only a small little portion of the fantasy football community, right? Not in leagues like us, where everybody who plays fantasy football is just an absolute toxic diehard.
Yeah. And I think that just comes back to the fact that you've got to find that small percentage of your league that is willing to trade for him. And I think the move with Derrick Henry is you're going to have to target a player that has depressed value. You're going to have to target a Deshaun Watson or, one of the running backs that's been injured, potentially Rashad Bateman and a pick, someone who isn't starting.
To me, that would be selling low on Derrick Henry, right? With the amount of stud wide receivers entering the NFL and the lack of depth at running back, you could move Derrick Henry. You can get my thoughts are that you get a wide receiver that you're really, really high on for the long term. That's a deal that's out there for most anyone to make.
Which wide receiver? CeeDee Lamb?
I think for most people, if they needed a running back, you could get a CeeDee Lamb, somebody in that tier right now. Just because wide receiver is so much deeper. Like, people are going to be looking at their rosters and they're going to be like, I have all these stud wide receivers. I have no running backs. I need a running back. At some point, people will be looking like that.
That might happen. You might get someone who panics and they've got to start three running backs maybe or something that's a bit of depth. Like you might get that, but that's a get out of jail free card. You think most times you're not going to get that.
I think the move I'd be making with Henry is, like, I still value him in that RB sort of RB 8 to 12 range where he was the season before, I think. So the move I'd be looking to make is potentially go and get a Josh Jacobs or a Miles Sanders or someone who I see in that tier and get a player like a Russell Gage that's going to help me on top of that.
I think that's the deal I'd be looking to make rather than trying to get the stud. But that's part of what I'm saying. Get a player you think is going to get into that tier, not necessarily a player that's in that tier right now.
Yeah.
Right? Get a player you think, based off your own analysis and your own beliefs, is going to get there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about buying high on a player before he goes higher, which we talked about last week. Anyway, Hatton and Bull have just ripped my last sell to shreds. All right? No love.
Oh, we agree he's a sell. It's just you're not getting the value for him.
Ouch. We've got an hour 10, gents. Was there anything else that you wanted to add before we sign off for the night or the morning?
My only thing would be a little bit of breaking news that didn't really get noticed this week. The Lions made a trade. I think they traded a fifth and a sixth round draft pick for Trinity Benson from, I think, might have been Seattle. Given that they've cut Brashad Perryman and a couple of other players and they're fairly shallow on receiver, realistically, I think at the moment they've got Williams, Cephas, and Amon-Ra. I think he's a good little go and add.
Sneaky little nugget from Bully. Who was that player again? Just saying so the people in the back can hear.
Trinity Benson. I think anytime a team is willing to make a trade while they're cutting down rosters, I think that's one of those ones where you are like, they've obviously seen something they like there.
You heard it here first on the Down Under Dynasty podcast. Trinity Benson, wide receiver one. Anyway, people, we've been here long enough. We're going to let you go. Thank you for your time today. And I hope all you Americans, you're still enjoying Saturday. Have a great weekend. And if you're here from Australia, thank you for watching. And I probably play fantasy football with you. Cheers.
See you guys.